This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
You're listening to The Free Breakfast on Free FM 89.0. I suspect most of us know Alan Davis one way or another. For some, it'll be years ago with Jonathan Creek. For others, it'll be more recent with QI. But for a lot of people, it will be for his stand-up comedy. Now, it's been a good long while since he last toured New Zealand, but he's heading back our way soon with his new show. It's called Think Ahead, and he joins us now. Kia ora, Alan.
Hello. Mike, nice to speak to you.
Lovely to talk to you. Now, you've been to New Zealand, I think, what, five times now? But it's been about 10 years since you were last here. And I'm wondering, before we talk about the new tour, just what you might remember most about your last visit.
Wow, well, I went all over the place. I mean, I've been lucky because I've been able to travel around New Zealand working, so visiting towns and seeing the place, doing shows. But also, I managed to hire a car and drive right across our path down the west coast of the South Island, see some of the most stunning scenery. So I've kind of combined the best of it all, really, because the audience has always been great for my comedy, and then you don't have to go far to see some staggering bit of natural beauty, do you?
Yeah, that's true. Do you think you're going to see many changes this time around?
Well, I'm expected to see changes in Christchurch. I mean, I do remember the old Christchurch, you know, before the earthquake, and then visited not long after it, and the devastation, it was so sad to see. But my understanding is things have really bounced back, so that'd be nice. As for the rest of New Zealand, who knows? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if things feel much the same or entirely different.
Are you managing to turn any of this into a holiday, or is it very much work all the way through?
It's very much work, yeah. Not bringing the family this time. I want to bring the family to New Zealand, but I'll do it in the New Zealand summer, not the New Zealand winter, I think.
Totally for a holiday.
Yeah.
Good call. You're a raconteur. You've done acting, writing, all sorts of other things over the years, especially on television, but you always seem to want to come back to the stand-up thing. What's the draw card there? Why do you keep coming back to that?
Well, it's you and the audience, you know, and it's the thing I started out doing when I was 22 years old, and it's been a long time with a microphone in my hand. Even when I've had time away from stand-up, I've always thought of it as my job, you know. It's the thing that I would do if everything else fell apart, and I've really, now I've kind of found with this latest show that I'm at a time in my life where I'm much more able to talk about all of the experiences and all of the things that happened to me in my childhood and some of the more difficult stuff. I've written two volumes of memoir talking about my childhood and then talking about how I had a career in comedy whilst keeping a lot of things hidden and secret, and this new show has really grown up alongside the writing of a second book, which has only just come out. It's called White Man Stand Up. So the two things were hand in hand, really. So I've kind of got to a point now where I'm much more able to deliver the full cake, if it was a cake. There are no ingredients left out there, please.
I'd like to talk a bit about your evolution with your stand-up material in just a bit, but just touching on your memoir, Just Ignore Him, that was an extraordinarily honest book, and it clearly resonated with a lot of people. And one of the things that seems to have happened after it came out was that people started sharing their own stories with you. Was that something that you possibly expected when you wrote it, or did it come out of the blue?
I didn't expect it, no, but it does happen. It quite often happens at signings. Like when I toured New Zealand, I'll sign books after the show and try and, you know, you've got to flog these units. It's a commercial operation. But at the same time, it's an opportunity to say hello to one or two people in the audience. And often people take the opportunity to say, hey, what you're talking about, you know, with your dad and abuse. And that happened to me. Something similar happened to me. And it's amazing how many people have done that or contacted me on social media or by writing a letter or something. So, I always thank people for telling me, and I know, you know, from personal experience, how much it takes to share that and to reveal that. I think the more people get to talk and share stories, and that's really the point of doing a show, really, is to get everybody in a room together, get us off our smartphones, deploy our superpower that we have as human beings, which is our sense of humour, And I think the show is probably the funniest one I've done, as well as being having moments of, you know, a little bit of poignancy and thought, and some reflection in there as well, which is sort of, I think it's all good, you know. There's pointless to stand there for an hour and a half and just be flippant and daft, you know. No, I am flippant and daft.
I'm wondering, do those conversations change the way that you now think about your own experiences, your own story?
Not really. I mean, I'm working on the books. It's really come about because watching my own children and watching them grow up and going through the age I was, for example, when my mum died, seeing them with their mum and who at the age when she, you know, 38, my mum died. So it's caused me to reflect and wanted to talk about the boy that I once was and bring him out and remember everything that I could, and so my children can read those stories and read those books. And so it's a sort of a personal enterprise done in a public forum in a way. And I think that I hope that the books have helped some people, because that would be a very nice outcome. You know?
It sounds like quite a different experience from your normal stand-up routine and the kind of feedback you get from an audience at that level. How prepared were you for that when you decided to include this kind of material in your new act?
Well, it was a bit of a gamble, I suppose. And when I started doing the show, which I did at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival last year, I was very pleased to find, you know, good notices and good ticket sales and a good response. It wasn't guaranteed. And in fact, I think, if anything, the notices and the response was better than before. There was something more rewarding about seeing me open up and tell the truth and find humour in some very difficult places. And it seemed like there was a point to it all, you know. And when you get to a time of, like, you know, 60 years old, you better have something to say by then, or really, what is the point?
Fair comment. Also, you know, thinking about your act, how do you make that balance work between the serious stuff you want to bring up and just the urge to make people laugh anyway?
Well, I don't leave it too long between laughs and the show. You know, we're not going down some bleak rabbit hole. It's a very much a case of, well, you might have wondered what I've been up to the last 10 years. A bit of this, a bit of that, but also this happened, and that did change things for me. And so that, you know, that was funny for this reason, it was less funny for that. And so I tell the story, tell the truth, and it's been a very enjoyable thing. I've toured all around the UK, and when I finish the tour in New Zealand, I go back to the UK and do another tour around another 20 towns I didn't get to the last time. So it's nice to go around again and really feel like I've got something worth showing, you know. Leaving no stone unturned, of course. Got to find all those ticket-buying punters.
In a broader sense, has getting older changed what you personally find funny or the material that you now think is rich for mining?
I don't think it's changed what I find funny. I mean, I've got a goddaughter who lives in Sydney. She's in her 20s now. But I remember the last time I was out, she was years ago when I came out, she was much younger, obviously. And I do remember sitting with her when she was about 12 or 13 or something, and she just said, oh, do you like watching people fall down on escalators? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, oh, there's some really funny videos online of people falling over on escalators. Do you want to watch them? So what happens is usually a fixed camera, you know, like a CCTV, and someone takes a tumble and then they're kind of lying on the escalator. And then they disappear out of shot as the escalator moves. And then you see them trying to recover themselves and get back up the escalator. And, yeah, it's as juvenile as it sounds. She was in stitches. And I'm glad to be able to preserve a vaguely childish sense of humour as I get older.
That's good for the soul, I guess.
Well, yeah, I think so.
Do comedians get funnier as they get older, or is it just they accumulate better material and can make more sense out of it?
I think a bit of both. I mean, I do. It depends on the comedian, obviously. Not every comedian wants to carry on touring when they're 60 years old. Some would say, what are you doing, you fool? But there we are. This is the choice I've made, and I've got the date booked now. So, But I think your talent, your ability to sort of process material, find the humour, and if you really make the effort, there's more to reflect on and more to say, live more of a life.
What do you reckon the Alan Davis of 30 years ago would make of the performer that you've become now?
Wow, that's a good question. Goodness knows. I mean, I talk about this in my book, really, about what I was thinking at that age. You know, that's 30 years ago, I was 30 years old, Jonathan Creek was happening, you know, and suddenly I was thrust into fame and recognition everywhere, you know, virtually everywhere I went, and, you know, it was almost overnight, and all of this stuff I now talk about in my shows and my books is very, very deeply buried away. So you've really got no idea what the future holds, have you? You really don't.
You're obviously comfortable with where you are, though. Most people think of you as the resident everyman on QI, but somewhere along the line, you also decided to go back and do a master's degree, and I wondered what the motivation was for that.
Well, that really was the beginning of telling my story and getting this stuff about my father and out in the open. And when I was at college doing that creative writing course I did 10 years ago, I started it 10 years ago now, 2016, I never really thought that I was going to publish anything from it. I never wasn't really sure how I was going to write it. I wanted to be a student. I felt like I'd missed being a student the first time around. I didn't make the most of it, you know, in the case of youth being wasted on the young, you know. And it's nice to go back as a mature student. There were quite a few mature students around the college doing different courses, and I highly recommend it. And I got a huge amount out of it. And in fact, it led to the book Just Ignore Him, which is my volume of memoir that kind of cracked open the whole secret life. So it was very worthwhile. It was life-changing, really.
Alan, I wish we had more time. It's lovely talking to you. Alan Davis is bringing Think Ahead to the BNZ Theatre in Hamilton on July 31st to kick off dates around the country. Ticketing is available through livenation.co.nz. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Alan. I really do appreciate it. Safe travels. We very much look forward to seeing you back in New Zealand soon.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.